I want to say thank you so much to you as a church, to Pastor Wayne, Pastor Alwin and the staff and the team, and for all of you for your generosity, for your prayers, for standing with us and with the people of Japan in this great time of need. Without you, we couldn't do it, but together we're able to convey the love of the Lord to the people of Japan. And I understand there are some people here from the area of Fukushima that has been greatly affected by the nuclear situation. And they are here amongst us. So we want to say we welcome you and we love you. Welcome to New Hope. Again, I say your generosity has allowed us to provide the things that the people need immediately after the events of that fateful afternoon in March 11. The situation changed. Japan changed people. It changed our lives. But not only us, it changed you. It changed the whole world. It's no longer just one small country. It's now become a global event. Everything that we face today is now becoming globally. But with your generosity, we were able to purchase clothes, items, food. We bought bicycles and we trucked them up north because that's the only form of transportation at this point. We also bought a lot of washing machines for clothes and dryers, and we brought them over. We buy a lot of plywood to repair the floors of some of the houses that are still livable. We have volunteer teams that goes up every weekend. Even today, we do have teams that are going up from Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, come back home. And we go up there and we feed people. We find out that some of the people still haven't got some hot food. They're still eating cold onigiri, rice balls, and sandwiches. But we were able to cook for them, and some of the pictures are going to come up. And you see some of the, that's one of the church that we use as a base. There's some of just shoveling the dirt that was brought in. We found some dead fish. People come in, pick whatever they need for their week, and we're able to help clean the debris. And it's not just our church, but all the other churches that were able to team up together for this huge effort. We purchased those food with all your donations. That's me practicing my cooking. I just got to learn to make barbecues, which Samoans are famous for. And all the people from Hawaii love barbecue. So we thought maybe we'd share some barbecue meat with them, make some miso soup. And that's, by then, that was about a month later, and people are still eating cold food. Government and other agencies weren't able to reach a certain pocket of people, so we were able, as New Hope Japan and other churches that team up together, to go to some of these places where the government can't reach, and we were able to bring the things that they need. So with that, I want to say thank you so much. Keep Japan in your prayers. As Sean said, we are still shaken. Just yesterday, we had another 6.4, still in the area of Fukushima. I never forget that day of the shaking because it happened an hour after I visited the doctor. You know, I went to do my medical checkup. Yeah, I hate medical checkups. I like doctors, but I don't like what doctors tell me what's wrong with me. How many of you kind of like that? You just kind of live your life and think everything is okay. That's cool. You don't want the doctor to tell you, hey, something's wrong with you. So that's why I hate going to doctors. But you can't help it because I married a Japanese. If I would marry a Samoan, that would be a different story. Someone would never tell you, go doctor. They just tell you, just endure. We don't have the money to pay the bill, so endure. You don't have insurance, so endure. But with Japanese, they don't. Japanese make sure you go doctor, even if just a little cold and a little cough. They said, we pay for insurance, so you better go make use of it. So I had to go. So when I went to the doctor and I was lying down on the doctor's table, you know, in Japan, they don't make tables big enough for Samoans. I don't know why, but Hawaiian people too, you know. This little bed. Suddenly, you know, you were hopeful, but when you see the bed, you say, how are you going to operate on me? How are you going to work on me on this table? So it's quite an interesting thing to be at a doctor's office and tell you, lie on the bed. And I'm going, what bed? So right there, I thought it was a bench for you to sit on. So, you know, you lie down, and then they give you this medicine you drink so they can numb your inside, so they can insert that camera. Oh, I hate that. You feel like a snake crawling in your tummy. Have you ever seen your inside? I've seen mine. Looks good. Look really good in color. Strange. Strange, the kind of stuff in you. But, you know, and now on the afterthought, when I was there, you know, the guy that was doing my, whatever you call that, you know, he seems to have a hard time putting the camera in me. I was started to concern because he was like going like this, and tried to insert, and I can see the camera moving in me like that. And I'm going, I hope he doesn't make a hole somewhere in there. So he keeps pulling. And then when I went home, you know, to rest, I started to think about, had the earthquake happened while he was inserting that thing, I could see how quick he's going to pull the thing out. And I scare, that scares me. So, wow. Thank God it didn't happen then. I went home and I was lying down and I'm still dizzy from all that, you know, the things that you take to numb your inside. And when I was just lying down, it started to shake. It was a real nice one. You know, you think, you know, you just need somebody, some lullaby kind of stuff, you know, so you can sleep through. And suddenly, it shook violently, and I have never been an earthquake like this before. Japan shakes every day, but not like this. It's the first time. So my wife ran frantically and panicked, looking for a place to hide. Because in Japan, you're educated that when the earth starts shaking, run and hide. Crawl under a table. Well, you ain't gonna expect a Samoan to hide under a small table like this. I mean, that spells problem for me. So my wife said, where should I hide? I said, I don't know. Can I go in the bathroom? Said, you're welcome there. And that leaves me. I said, where can I go? Y'all know how difficult that is to find a big table big enough for us big people. Everything in Japan is miniature size. See, I can't even find free size clothing there. Even if they do have free size in clothing, it's a lie. It says free size. By whose size? I got there. I couldn't fit in the free size. So I think that's why someone invented this kind of clothing, free size. But, you know, coming to think about all the devastation that we went through and all that shaking, there was a sense of hopelessness. And there was a sense that when will this shaking end? When is it going to be finished? And I started to think about the parallel in our own lives. You are going through some very shaking situations in your own life, in your marriage, in your children's life, who are not walking according to your desire and wishes. You're going through some shaking times economically, where it's threatened the very security of your own job and your livelihood. And you're thinking, will this ever end? Some of you are here today because you're desperately in need of some encouragement. When things started shaking, what do you do? Because life has the ability of making you feel good and confident about everything we do, and then suddenly things change. Because those sudden moments are moments that you never ever ink on your calendar and say, this sudden thing is going to happen today. It comes to you unwanted. You don't plan for sudden things in that sense. It gives you a black eye in life, heartache. You're hurting and you wonder if there's any sense to all this. Remind me of this story that I read about a lady who had been married to her husband for 30 years and everything was going real good. She happened to ask him to describe her. So he looked at her slowly. Then he said, you are A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. The wife was quite surprised. What does all that mean? She asked him and said, well, you are adorable. You are beautiful. You are so cute. You are delightful. You're elegant. You're foxy. You're gorgeous. She started to feel real good. You're hot. Oh, that topic. Then she started smiling in approval, and then she said, well, what does IJK stands for then? And the husband said, I just kidding. Wham! Got a black eye. But it'll get better. But you see, that's how life it is sometimes. It has this ability of lifting us up and making us feel so good that you think that nothing's ever going to happen to change that. And then suddenly something happened. As much as we love smooth waters, there's an Arab proverb that states that smooth waters do not make skillful sailors. That means our life's going to go through some difficult times. And you better make sure that you're able to navigate your life through all these difficult things. It's going to pile up on you. It's going to shake your very confidence in your own ability to survive. But you better get this under your belt so that will help you when things get terribly wrong, because it often does happen. I want us to look at the words of Psalms 30, verse 5. Because I really love this promise. King David seems to be going through some hard time in his own life, and he wrote and penned these words. If you can read it together with me. Ready, go. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning. Amen. Do you see what he's saying? He's saying that his anger only lasts for a moment, but his favor is like a lifetime warranty on you. The favor of the Lord is on your life, always. Then he says that weeping may last through the night. There are moments that it's going to bring brokenness in your own life. discouragement, disappointment, when you started to see things in your life not lining up as you expected, when your marriage is suffering, when you start to look at other alternatives that might be available to you, and you're going to feel so desperately to escape your reality at this point and follow that desire. Here he says, don't do it. Even though that has brought so much brokenness in your life, don't run away from it, for joy will come in the morning. What he is saying, that there is going to be an end to the difficulties that you go through. There is going to be a moment of turning around. What you see, it seems to be lasting and hanging around and bringing pain and discouragement. That will not last. For joy will come in the morning. I'd like for us to look at this book of Habakkuk, where I'm going to base my thoughts today for your encouragement. This guy, Habakkuk, he was a prophet that was called by God to work among the nation of Israel. And he had so much expectations on what God is able to do. So he prayed. He prayed and he prayed for the things that he saw that need God's help in the nation. You find it in the first chapter of that book of Habakkuk. He prayed and prayed and prayed, but nothing seems to be happening. So these prayers of his that were supposed to be hopeful prayers turn into desperation, turn into not only being in despair, but started to complain about God. And he said, God, you are not answering my prayers as quickly as I want you to. You're not doing anything with my situations. You have called me to this nation, but you're not doing anything I've asked you for. In fact, I want us to read together first what happened to him. Can you read it with me in Habakkuk 3:17-18 on your notes? Ready, go. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vine, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. This is in chapter 3. Something has changed. Write it on your bullet there. When times like this happen into your life and you feel like God is not responding, choose joy of the Lord over your disappointment. Choose the joy of the Lord over your disappointment. Amazing change in Habakkuk. Situation didn't change. The things he had called out to God didn't change. Nothing get better. But interestingly, when he's come to this verse in chapter 3, you find that he changed. Things didn't get better. He got better. His perspective changed. He says, even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes in the vine, even though the olive crop fails and the field lie empty and barren, even though the flocks dies in the field and the cattle barns are empty. And when you read that, you started to see that every time he prayed, things get worse. Was that your experience? Every time you keep praying, seems to be things get worse. That's interesting. But if you see the next part of the verse, it says, yet. It says, I choose the joy of the Lord over my disappointment of things that are not going my way. I pray hard for many things in my life. One of these things that still remains with me is when I receive word about my father who was dying of his illness. First, my prayer life was hopeful. God, you promise. I mean, if you know that, that when comes times like that, you try to remind God about his promises. As if God doesn't know what he promised to us. And I start saying, God, you promised to heal. You promised to bring wholeness. You promised to raise up the dead. And I pray for my father. What I pray as hard as I can. My father died. Not because of my prayer. I hope not. He didn't change. I prayed hard for my brother when I heard about his situation. He was only a year above me. I prayed hard, God spare him. He died. I prayed for my sister. Her too died. I'm starting to feel like Habakkuk. I keep praying and everything keeps deteriorating. Then I started to change from hopeful prayers into complaining prayers. God, you promised me. How can you do this to me? I'm serving you in Japan. I started to tell God what I was doing. Can't you see, God? I'm doing all this for you. I left my family. I left my island. I left everything. And this is what you give me. Have you ever felt like that? Like telling God what you're doing? Kind of like earn some favor or something? So I started doing that to the Lord. I said, God, you're so unfair. Why do you take my father? Why did you take my brother? Why did you take my sister? Why don't you take somebody else, sister, who's not walking with you? Have you ever prayed prayers like that? I have. Where your prayers, instead of being hopeful, you became complaining. And he started telling God how good you are serving him, as if he doesn't know. And my father died, my sister died, my brother died. So I pray you don't come and ask me for prayers after the service. I'll pray for you. Now you said, really? But see, my situation didn't change. I changed. I saw that God is able to do whatever he's able to do. God knows when he does what he does is always right. I'm always having this sort of expectation that's always mixed. Selfish expectations. He too, Habakkuk, have his selfish expectations of God. Why don't you do when I ask you to do this, Lord? Why don't you answer on time when I ask of you to come through because I'm in need of you? And sometimes we try to move the hand of God by putting in our own selfish expectations that God should always move when I ask. I realized that that wasn't the case. God will do whatever God decides to do, and I must follow that. Here he changed his heart when he realized it's all God, it's not about him. He says, I will rejoice then in the God of my salvation. A few minutes ago we sang the song, You Are Good. You are good. You are good. How many times have we sang those words? And I know that those words are always tested in your heart. Will God still be good and still be God in your life when he doesn't answer your expectations? Will that still be the testimony and the truthfulness of what we sing every Sunday? Would you still say, God, you're still God. Even when my father didn't survive, God, you're still God. Even though my brother didn't survive, God, you're still God. When my sister didn't make it. Is that still your heart? Because here he says, nothing changed. I'm always feel that there's a lot of times that we're so preconditioned to worship God when things are going well in our marriages. To worship God when your business is successful. To worship God when your children are going good. To worship God when your health is okay. But when things turn for the worse, we don't follow that. That's why he's here reminding us the best time to worship the Lord is when things are not going well. That's the best kind of worship. When you're so broken, when you so realize that you can't do it on your own, no matter how confident you are and how knowing you are about the way you used to do things, the best kind of worship is when you realize God is God and I am. Then you worship him. That's what he's saying. I'm not going to worship God just because he answered me. Even if he doesn't answer me, I worship the Lord. You say amen to that. Amen. I love the view of Habakkuk. He says, even things are not getting better. Because my expectation is not on the events to change. My expectation now is on the God who is able to change the events of my life. He says, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. This word salvation doesn't speak necessarily about your sins being forgiven. It includes that. But it talks about being rescued, being delivered, being able to see situation turns around. This is what Habakkuk is saying. I'm not hopeful because circumstances change and I change with the circumstances all the time. When it is good, I'm good. When it's bad, I'm bad. But so that's not where I'm going to bank my mind. I'm going to bank it on the unchangeable God who's able to remain unchangeable even though circumstances changed. He's the one that's going to turn my life around. He's going to be the one that's turned my marriage around. So I'm not going to let go of joy. I'm going to choose to rejoice in the Lord no matter what. Nehemiah says in Nehemiah 8:10 to the people of Israel, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know that very well. So what he's saying, without joy, you have no strength. Without joy, you lose everything that you've been your hope on. And he says, I love what Psalm 62 said, that my soul waiteth thou in silence for God only, for my expectations is from him alone. I love that. My expectation is from God alone. One of the greatest challenges in our lives is our unmet expectations in every form. Whether it be in your relationship with your wife, it's a lot of expectations. When will she change? Does that happen? Or my husband, when will he stop doing this? My children, when will they stop doing this? My job, when will I get a raise? Don't look around, your boss might be here. Expectation is one of those things that if you don't navigate your life well, you forever wait for solutions and will always escape you. This is one of the greatest challenges, is to live with unmet expectations. That's why he knows very well, I will place my trust in the God of my salvation. even though what I seek in life that will bring abundance will eventually stop flowing. They will fail. They will die. They will stop producing. Bank account will be empty. But my God is unchangeable. My God will rescue me and turn things around. The second thing that's really important in our lives, number two, is just to place your confidence in God. Just to place your confidence in God. Read it together with me. Habakkuk 3:19. Ready, go. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He will make me as sure-footed as a deer and bring me safely over the mountains. You can see how he is changing slowly. He's no longer expecting things to change, but he's expecting his God to work on his behalf. He says, he will make me sure-footed. Even though my life is on slippery slope, he'll make me stand. He'll make me sure-footed in the face of unchanging circumstances. He will bring me safely over the mountain, he said. Hebrews 10, verse 35. Would you read it together with me? Ready, go. Do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord, no matter what happens. Remember the great reward it brings to you. We, in times of crisis, see, crisis can either soften you or harden you. And in times of crisis, sometimes we ignore God's word. We place confidence in our own power and know how to survive. We block out his wisdom. We block out his voice. And when we make that choice, we suffer the consequences of our choices. When I first went to Japan, I bought a nice van, nice automobile for me and my family. And it comes with a GPS. And you know, those things are very convenient because I drive in Tokyo. I can't even read kanjis. But I drive like a pro. I know where I go because the GPS helps me. Well, what happened when you argue with the GPS? There was a time I just bought the car, 2 weeks old. And I love the convenience of this navigating system. I punch in my destination. And lo and behold, the blue line appears and seems to tell me, follow the blue line. Well, I follow the blue line. I was heading to Tokyo. I live in a place called Saitama. And when I was following this blue line, there's a lady in there that keeps telling me where to turn and where to correct when I stray from this blue line. I argue with this lady. It's something with men that don't want to receive direction from ladies, you know. I said, I know where I'm going. So be quiet. And he keeps telling me, have you ever find yourself arguing with a navigating system? It doesn't help. So I see the goal, and I say to this voice, forget it, I'm not going to follow you. It's right there, the goal. I see it clearly, and I'm going this way. And I ignore her telling me, turn right, turn left, turn left, turn right, and you'll be there. I ignore, I fight it with all the strength I can. I said, nope, I'm going straight, because the goal, I can see it. I can see the goal. So I keep going on this straight road, keep going and going, and I didn't realize the road was getting narrower and narrower and narrower. And I'm saying, this is crazy. And I passed by a couple of people that were looking at me funny kind. You know, when somebody look at you real strange, you kind of say... So I kind of get upset, you know, and I have this Samoan thing with me, say, what you looking at? you don't want to look stupid, right? So you like say it out, what are they looking at? And they keep looking at me. And I know they're thinking, what is this stupid foreigner doing in this narrow street? I ignore them too. I keep going. and it gets narrow. It becomes just a one car, just about the wall to wall. And then what I didn't realize, in front of me was a huge wall. And my goal is just on the other side of the wall. My perception deceived me, because I'm thinking I'm going right straight, and I didn't realize that this thing looking from the top directing me says, left, right, left, and you're there. But I said, no, I'm going to go straight. And here I am, finding myself facing a wall, and in total embarrassment, I have to back up, and people are still watching me. Now I know why they were looking at me funny. So when I was backing up, you see, I prided myself that I used to drive long stretch out here in Hawaii as a tour driver, and I thought I can maneuver my way out. Oh, well, I did. But it came to one tight corner, and as I was turning, I hear this sound goes, oh, my goodness. Brand new car. My pride was so scratched up. I turned around and I went straight back home. I went back home and there was a hardware store near my house. I was so total embarrassed. I didn't want to tell my wife. You know? So I went home and I went to the shop and they have these markers that tells you. Yeah, I did. And this marker tells you that if you buy this, this is the exact original color that your car has. So if you buy this, it will help cover up everything. Well, I did. I was so happy my wife would never see the scratch. Oh, well, I did it. They lie. It wasn't compatible with the color in the pen. I was so embarrassed. And I was hoping my wife would never see it. How many of you, like, tried to do things like that? Cover up scratches. And this has happened in our own lives when we refuse to hear the voice that says, I see everything, you don't see everything. Therefore, follow me and I will save you the scratches in your life. But oftentimes we don't do that. We think, I know it already. I'm confident I can handle this one too. But with that confidence, that's why we always keep scratching up, scratching up, scratching up, scratching up in our lives. And some of us have been scratched life for however long you've been around. And this is why it's so important that when God speaks, don't block, don't depend on your own confidence in yourself. There's a confidence, trust in God that's way much better than our own ability to maneuver our lives out of trouble. And God is saying, I want to do that for you. I want to be someone that brings confidence in your life. My daughter Erica plays soccer. And you know, in soccer, she's a goalie. And if you play the goalie position, even though it's not your fault, whenever somebody get the ball in, you always carry this pressure on you that you're at fault because you couldn't keep the ball away from entering in the net. So Erica usually come home and I would pick her up at the station. And she would come and say, Daddy, how are you? I said, Erica, I'm good. So every day, that's how we greet each other from when she comes home. Well, this one day that she came home, and I noticed something different. She was like slouching over in her shoulders. She was not looking at me. So I reversed the greeting and said, Erica, how are you? Not good. Why? We have a game tomorrow. And the people we're playing are pretty big people. I don't think we ever have a chance against them. She just totally lost confidence in her ability to play. She said, I don't know if I can do it, Daddy. He says, you can. I don't know if I can. She said, no, you can. You can do it. Then I said, who are you? He says, I'm Erica's. Great. What are you? I'm Japanese. Great. There's another part about you. Who are you? I'm Samoan. I said, great. You can do it then. They lost. I should have said they were Samoans. But sometimes we beat our confidence in that part. Oh, I'm Samoan, I can do it. Yes, we can. But there are moments that we can't. That's why our confident trust should never be on anything aside from our confidence in our God, who is able to turn things around. My question for you, what are you placing your confidence on? Your money? Have you ever taken a look at your dollar bill? What does it say to you? God, we trust. You see that even your dollar bill is telling you, don't trust me? You ever thought of that? That even the dollar bill that you trust is saying, I can't pay your mortgage? I can't pay your bills? I can't make you happy? That's why it's saying, in God we trust. It's trying to remind you this piece of paper is only as valuable as you want it to be. And it's telling you, don't place your trust on me. I cannot even help you. It says, put your trust in God, who is able to turn your life around, turn your marriage around, turn your worries around, turn your hopelessness into a hopeful life. God bless you.
Pastor Talo Sataraka. Hey, Talo, I want you to do one thing. Now, it was a great word for all of us here. I want you to pray for the people here in Japanese. Can you do that?
I don't have the confidence.
You have the confidence. I know you can do that. But I want you to pray in Japanese because I believe that the Holy Spirit will work through the Japanese language to touch someone's heart here this morning. So would you go ahead and pray?
Hey, Pastor Alwin, that's scary, you know.
No. You can do it. You can do it.
Let us pray. Tenochichi naru kamisama.本当に今日の御言葉を聞いて本当にありがとうございます。今日一人一人の中でいろんなことあると思いますけど、いろんなことも自分たちを自分の力を頼ることもあります。だけど今日の御言葉を聞いて自分の力頼っても弱い時もあります。 だけど神様の御言葉はいつも希望あります。いつも導いてくれることあります。心の中にいろんな人を聞いて、その神様の言葉を聞いて、自分たちの今いろんなシチュエーションを入っていると思うんですけれども、神様は希望を与えてください。知恵を与えてください。 足りないところを全部神様に頼ります。あなたに頼ります。なぜならあなたは変わらない方なんです。それは私たちの希望、私たちの思考、あなたに頼ります。じゃあ全てのことを、どんなことあっても神様導いてください。知恵を与えてください。
すべてのことをあなたに委ねます。イエス様の名前によってお祈りします。アーメン。I want you to also meet this morning Talo's supporting family, Nori, his wife, and his daughter, Erica. Nori, would you come on out? and Erica. Come on out here. How did he do on his prayer? Was it okay?
Yeah. It's okay.
What I want you to see is, and what we don't realize many times is, we can, you know, donate financially to help a cause like this, but you don't realize that what they need most of all is spiritual support. That somehow God has taken this family and placed them in the midst of all that's going on in Japan, because He knew, the Lord knew from the very beginning of time, that He needed such leaders such as these. And Nori supports Talo completely in their services. They do it as a team. Talo will teach, Nori will translate, and they have brought many, many to Christ. But in this time of instability, God has used this family well in that country. So I want to ask, if you wouldn't mind standing and extending a hand this way. He's prayed for us. I want us to pray for them as they return to Japan. They'll be returning to Japan on Wednesday, going back out into the mission field. And so I want to give them our blessings. Would you come here in the middle and extend the hand this way, if you wouldn't mind doing that? Let's pray for them. Lord God, thank you for this wonderful family, Talo and Nori and Erika, and all that you've called them to do in the mission field. Father, we can take advantage so many times of what we have here and forget that the cause of your glory is happening on the front lines of ministry, and in Japan right now, especially with all that has happened, with lives that have been lost and souls that are searching for hope and a future, that this couple and this family has been placed there. Father, you knew that from the very beginning of time, that you handpicked this family to be there at such a time as this. We pray, dear Lord, as they return to the homeland there in Japan on Wednesday, that they will go with our blessings, Father God, that they will go with our prayers, that we'll continue to support them in so many ways, but especially spiritually, Father God. We pray that you give them courage, that you give them strength as they continue on with your work. That as even now, as volunteers go up to the north and to share supplies and the good news, that the men and women of Japan will see your good works and glorify you in heaven. It's because of leaders such as these, as Talo and Nori and Erika. Continue your work there, Father. We pray that you will cover them every step of the way. We support them now as a church, as an ohana. In Jesus' name we pray. We all say together, amen, amen. Pastor Talo, Nori, Erika, thanks so much. You know, as he said, the work continues. The earth is still shaking there. People are still wondering, still searching. And they're going to go and continue to support the ministry. We can do the same. Our Japanese ministry has a table under a concierge desk. They can answer any questions you might have as to how you can continue to help them. Financially, of course, but more so with prayers. If you want to get your hands dirty, they got teams that are going to be going up there. They'll give you some contact information about that as well. But we're going to, here at home, we're going to continue to have hope in the Lord. Amen? Continue to hope in Him. Don't lose your confidence. Don't lose your joy that God is good. God is good all the time, all the time. God is good. Let's pray. Father God, thank you again for a wonderful weekend. We pray that we leave now differently than when we came in. We will trust in you in all things, not just in the good times, but even in the shadows of death, we will walk with you every step of the way. In Jesus' name we pray. We all say together, amen, amen. Seal that to your hearts with a clap, would you? Bless you. Have a great week. Loving someone as you go.